You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. Welcome to the show. That's what I was trying to say. You know, it's funny. It's not funny. Heather Dennis is joining us, and we were together on television, I might add. Many hours ago. you always slip up and say things like, you know, Heather and I were together at 8:30 this morning in front of a camera, and we weren't even together. She was over there and I was over here. But my point of all this, Heather, is I've interviewed countless people, and not coaches, but people that have been here for 4 days, and every one of them looks like you look the night after your high school graduation. Rough. In the sense of, when is this over, and when do I get out of here?
Is that all over my face right now?
No, you'll look fine, but it's just, and I'm speaking for myself more than anyone, but I think it was the commissioner, because you could just see the fatigue in his face.
Yeah. Well, these are long days, but you know what? They're fun, and they are important, because this FaceTime after 2 years of not being able to do that has been so valuable. And for me particularly, reconnecting with players, which I have not had a lot of time to do, has not only been refreshing, but it's been fun and it's been valuable.
And I want to talk about that, because we've hammered all the issues together, and in spite of what has been said for a number of days, breaking news has not been the theme of this week. But in relation to what you've gleaned from countless players, describe some of these experiences and how you were able to digest the information and what it means.
Well, so many of them were not only intellectual and well thought out with their answers, but a lot of them were talking about some of the things that they are or aren't doing with name, image, and likeness. And, you know, one player was talking about how with any money he makes, he would like to do something in terms of an organization for single moms, to help single moms. And I think that there's so much good that's out there that players are doing with it that doesn't necessarily get a lot of attention. That was refreshing, but also just being excited about playing football. I mean, we get so wrapped up in NIL and transfer portal and blah, 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 and all this news. And these are kids who are coming in here, and they're excited and they're hungry. And I'm asking about what's it like with this revolving door. And they're talking about, we've got new teammates and we're bringing them in. Yeah. And, you know, we're ready to play. So that was exciting.
You know, you said that, and the other day I haven't been in our office in 3 weeks, so maybe somebody's been generous enough to send me one of these preseason magazines. And I was at a grocery store the other day, you know, not really doing anything other than just hanging around waiting for my wife to do what she does at grocery stores. And I was literally at the magazine shelf thumbing through, like, and I'm thinking, it's mid to late July already, and that's the kind of thing I used to do, and I'm sure you did, in May or June, the second those things came out. And I still wasn't really interested, because there's so many other things that we've been talking about. But your point is great, because the season is what really interests us, not the dysfunctionality of college football.
Well, it is. And once they start to play, that's what fans love.
Right.
This sport is not going to change on Labor Day. Everything around the sport is changing. But when Georgia and Oregon kick off here in Atlanta, this place is going to be nuts. It's already sold out. It's a great storyline. Dan Lanning coming back, Kansas' old team. You know, we've got all of these things, and I asked Jimbo Fisher today if there's any extra motivation for October 8th. He downplayed it. I can't wait to see that game because of that backstory. I mean, we're all still going to be talking about it regardless of if they're downplaying it. So all of those things. But in addition to that, to hear somebody like Nolan Smith talk about how he took sign language classes and he's coaching on the team sort of and helping with the hand signals. Because that's one of the things that he does. Like, isn't that neat to hear some of those stories, I think?
Okay, that's the football component. Mm-hmm. Now let's get back to what you normally talk about. so much has happened, but not really a lot has happened. So the takeaway from all the doublespeak, the innuendo, the obfuscation, what did we really learn this week about where college football is?
Well, I think if you combine Big 12, SEC, and ACC media days, which are kind of happening in this swirl, we learned all options are on the table. Mm-hmm. We heard it from incoming Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark. We heard it from ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips. And while SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey didn't necessarily come out and say, we're doing X, Y, or Z, I mean, he wants to best position the SEC, which he thinks and says is the strongest conference, for the future as well.
Is there some doubt about that? Or you say that with a journalistic raised eyebrow.
Did I? I supposed to have my poker face
on. You're not allowed to doubt the veracity of that when you're on the SEC network, Heather. I know you do most of your yakking over there on the big network, but we don't allow anyone to challenge that this is the best network. You will be ejected out of that seat.
Well, I won't mention that the Big Ten Conference is also expanding to 16 teams ultimately too. But the point is that this is not over, and you know it's not over, and there are still moving pieces. Everybody's trying to figure out where they can make the most money and how, and that's a storyline we're all going to continue to follow.
Before you go, I mean, we're together a lot via television, and you know, I don't get a chance to see you very often, especially with COVID and all that. And I'm so impressed with your work ethic. I mean, that shouldn't be a surprise considering at the level that you're at. You started as a newspaper person, but how do you manage your day? Because I know you've got kids and they are obviously more important than whether the college football playoff goes to 8 or 12 or 64. But throughout the day, I mean, the day that I think the story broke, I heard this maybe through the producers one day that you were taking one of your kids to the dentist or something. it's what everybody in America deals with, mom or dad. Mm-hmm. But it's a little bit different when you're covering at the highest level for ESPN, a national sport.
It is, but I could ask the same thing to you because you are on this. I mean, you've been on.
But I don't have to take kids to the dentist.
Well, that's that's true. And I have to move an orthodontist appointment next week, actually, because I got to go to Seaport. But look, I mean, I will say this 100% honesty. I could never in a million years do what I do without my husband at home. And not to get all personal and family gushy here on the SEC network, but that's the truth of it. He's holding down the fort right now, and I'm excited to get home. But they know. And you know what's really fun about it is the three kids, they're all boys. And so we're watching football every Saturday when I'm at home.
You told me something. We'll see each other again tomorrow morning very early. Not here, by the way. We'll both hopefully be gone, depending on the airline schedule. You told me that, I can't remember when it was, a couple weeks ago, that you had to fly back, you got home late, and you had a very early appointment on ESPN, and you did not want to bother your family. I know I'm speaking out of school here, but I thought it was really a tribute to your dedication, not only as a correspondent for ESPN, but as a mom.
Well, thank you. It's true. I did. When I came home from Big 12 media days last week, got home at midnight, slept on the couch in my clothes because why not? and I did not want to wake up my family. I knew I had to be on SportsCenter. I knew I had to wake up at 5:30 in the morning, and so just pieced it back together, brought the suitcase in the morning. That's all right.
When I get home at the same time tonight, I don't want to see a pillow on the couch.
It's all good. It all gets done. This is what we do. And you know what? If we didn't enjoy it, it would be really hard work.
Well, it's. I mean, you are very inspirational. And I know sometimes we're jostling back and forth. And I will say, and I've said this to you privately, but I do always feel badly. Because Mike Greenberg will come to you and you'll give this well-thought-out, well-sourced, comprehensive opinion and analysis of what is going on. And then I'll just, like, you know, throw some flame and I'm, like, seeing you going, those poor Heather, all those sources she talked to, they must say, why do you go on with that guy?
Because it's so fun. And what people can't see is behind the camera when you're talking, I'm saying, come back to me so I can respond to that.
Well, we will see you in the morning.
Yes.
Hopefully you will not be sleeping on the couch tonight.
Yes, hopefully not.
Great to have Heather Dinich with us from ESPN. We will take a break. An hour and 45 minutes remaining. We're not counting down because we want to get out of here.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And I am currently Googling that right now. Tobias Wilburn and Justin Ferguson, who cover the Auburn Tigers, are here. Guys, thank you very, very much. That was something we've been anticipating, wondering about. You guys may have known more than we did as just local yokel media that don't cover it like you do. But what, Justin, did you take away from Brian Harsin's rather firm address to the media today?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you can tell he's trying to move, kind of get past it, but also it's kind of been kind of a rallying point for this team. A lot of the things we heard today from the players and Brian Harsin was, you know, what happened to them earlier in the year has kind of united this team. Talk about a better attitude, more cohesiveness. So it's one of those things where you're trying to have the balance of, hey, we're done talking about it, but also, you know, it's Auburn against the world kind of mentality this year, and they're still trying to build off of that.
Advice, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. Well, actually, I have done that a couple of times. But it seemed like he was telling the administration, you guys, your coup attempt failed.
I mean, well, that's literally what he said. He said the attempt failed, and he wasn't wrong. It was a very malicious thing. There were things that were said that I don't want to repeat on TV because, well, they aren't true, and it's kind of horrible.
Yeah, it really is.
But that being said, it was a bad attempt, and it was hurtful. He survived it. The team survived it, and they might be in a better place going forward, so it appears yet.
And true, there's not a compelling reason to go back, but I'm still sitting here in bewilderment these many, many months later trying to figure out, well, maybe I'm not trying that hard because maybe I can figure it out, but why did this happen?
Well, where do you start? If you start with maybe Tank Bigsby not going out of bounds, yeah, maybe possibly staying in bounds, or you could have went for it on fourth down, even if you run some more clock, leave a little bit less time. There are a lot of things that happened in the Iron Bowl that could have went different. Maybe you don't lose to South Carolina. Maybe you don't give up a 25-point lead. I mean, where do you want to start?
Yeah, I don't want to sound naive like this is the first rodeo I've been to, but I mean, I can't believe anybody in administration at Auburn or a booster would get that upset about losing the Iron Bowl. I mean, come on. I mean, it's only a football game.
Oh, it's only a football game. Well, you know, think about playing football in the South. I mean, nobody dies until, like, fans shoot each other, right?
Yeah.
But
True. Justin, speaking of moving on, because that story has been beaten to death, and it won't matter unless it matters again.
Right.
What does this football team look like in terms of maybe getting the story advancing?
Yeah, so I think this is going to have to be a team this year that's kind of old school Auburn. It's running the football. It's, you know, playing really good defense. The passing game is what it is at this point. Bo Nix leaves. He's, you know, 3-year starter. Mr. Auburn leaves. And you have a question mark at quarterback. You have a question mark at wide receiver. But you feel like you return really good talent on all three levels of your defense, and Tank Bigsby's your best player. So you try to build around that. And I think it's, you know, something John Samuel Shanker said today is that, hey, we were 6-2. Like, we know what we're capable of, and the 5-game losing streak wasn't quite as, you know, they don't feel that represents them as much as the start of the season did. But I think a lot of that is that success. And I think when you think back to Auburn teams that do better than expected, it's usually running the ball and playing defense. And so it's going to kind of be that kind of old school feel, I think, this year.
Tobias, Brian Harsin hired his own staff, got rid of a bunch of them because they clearly didn't fit. Now he's brought in guys he's comfortable with. He had a pretty lousy season. There was a coup attempt that failed. Why am I to believe that in spite of the kumbaya and rally around the flag that sounds good, but in reality, once football starts, probably won't mean a whole lot. Why am I to believe that this is going to have a happy ending?
Well, depends on where you hang out. But
how many beers I've had.
Or how many beers or where you might go if hang out for a massage. But that being said, when you look at it, if their offensive line is good, they bring back 4 of their 5 starters and a lot of their 2-deep guys, starting with center Nick Broms. If they're healthy, they can improve from last year. You have one of the best running backs in the conference in Tank Bigsby. You also have a solid tight end group with John Samuel Shanker. You mentioned Landon King earlier, the tight end who we all like, who will probably do some receiver. Now, of course, you don't know who's going to throw the ball. You don't know who's going to catch it as far as the top receivers. But other than that, everything's great, Paul.
Yeah, and just we've shown the schedule, and we'll talk about it again because it's pretty. You don't have to look at it. You know who's on the schedule. And Penn State is a home game early in the season. The usual suspects: Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M. That's
LSU.
Just for starters. LSU, and
the Mississippi schools are good.
Yeah, I mean,
and
all this talk, am I sounding skeptical? Yes, I'm going to sound skeptical because I know Auburn would be better. They have to be better, but they weren't all that bad last year at times. The season just got lost. So why, where can we believe, Justin, that the season can be turned in? Where are the landmines? It seems like Penn State's pretty important.
Yep. Now, it's the fact that you have 5 straight home games to start the year. And if you're talking about a team that needs to do more than they expect, you got to get hot early. Yeah. You've got to go on this run. You get 2 paycheck games to get you going, and then Penn State's big, Missouri, then LSU. Look, Georgia and Alabama, you haven't beaten them in their places in a long time. It's going to be very, very tough to do that. But the thought is, can you get hot enough early on? Take advantage of the fact that even though your schedule's tough, the gods have smiled on you enough to give you an entire September at home and try to get on a run there. But, yeah, that's kind of the landmine that I have off of that. They play Georgia and Ole Miss back-to-back. That's going to be pretty difficult. You lost to Mississippi State in the fashion you did last season, and now you got to go to Davis Wade. So there are quite a few landmines in the back half. They've got to take advantage of the front half. Auburn's going to have a successful season. They've got to get through that September slate looking pretty good.
And the bias, the SEC is often about who underachieves, and let's say the Mississippi schools don't live up, or Texas A&M, or LSU, and suddenly it becomes a lot easier.
Well, I mean, if it was the fifth, we'd all be having a good time here,
yeah,
right?
Right.
But in reality, it is a very difficult schedule. Penn State's not an easy team to play out of the Big Ten. They beat Auburn last year. Now, of course,
barely.
One could argue Auburn probably should have won that game. Bo Nix maybe plays a little better. Some things go different. On Papo doesn't get injured. He's back healthy. Right. So you could say, hey, Auburn could be better. It's a tough schedule, Paul. It really is. Yeah. But they have to go out. They can't go worse than 4-1 of those first five games.
Yeah.
Which means they're going to have to handle business against a LSU team that might be good under Brian Kelly. Yeah. We don't know. Missouri could be a tough team because you don't know know what Auburn's going to be yet. You really don't know.
Yeah. I've been highly suspicious of the rally around the flag. I would also contradict myself by saying the last time – well, not the last time –
It's Auburn.
But I mean, there were so many coup attempts with Gus Malzahn that I'm going to stop myself. But the most famous coup attempt also failed, and the next year Auburn was in national championship contention. So if you want to play games like we're playing here, you can point to that. But in terms of knowing how Brian Harsin really feels, other than what he said today, do we really know what has been going on there, especially with the administration? He's got an athletic director that told us a couple of weeks ago doesn't have a contract extension but wants one. Who doesn't want a contract extension? New president, you folks probably know him. And I'm sure presidents always say the right thing, but the boosters are still there, aren't they? They haven't left, have they?
Well, they haven't, and the question is, will their money be there? Because Auburn, one, they need to get their collective together.
Right.
If they can get a certain amount of money in their collective, maybe that'll help. But also, they did make a new hire, Drew Fabianzi, who came from the NFL. And according to my sources, he's getting somewhere between $250,000 to $300,000 salary per year. At that hire, they just hired for a general manager for the college football team. Yes, college football team has a general manager.
So, you know, you covered the NFL. Is there a cap manager?
Well, coming probably. I mean, with the NIL collectives, you probably will one day have to have somebody who manages all the money that's not a salary, right?
I had a lot of fun with this in February, and I'll ask you guys, and of course, we're talking to Nabias Wilburn and Justin Ferguson. Is the general still there? And I apologize for not remembering his name, but all I heard was the general is in charge. I mean, so not only do you have a player personnel general manager, there's a general now who was once running the Auburn athletic department, wasn't it?
Well, and that's the thing, right? If you ask Alan Green this, or you ask him, Alan Green with a truth serum, he would probably feel like, hey, how come I get all the knocks when things go bad, but this general gets credit for when things go good?
Because he's a general.
Well, there you go. But it doesn't help Alan Green as he's trying to get a contract.
So is Alan Green going to survive?
That's the multi-million dollar question, right? I think you don't hire and fire athletic directors based on football games, right? Wins and losses. But and the timing is the timing.
But let me,
you shouldn't probably.
Let me cite precedent. This is not Supreme Court or constitutional law, but in Alabama, we always go back to the Alabama Auburn's tough football running team. There was a situation in some year, I'm trying to remember it now, the late 90s, I believe it was 99, a long time ago, that Alabama had an embattled football coach, Mike Dubose, and they lost to Louisiana Tech. Mm. They fired the athletic director, Nabias. Thinking they wanted to get him out of the way so then they then could fire DeBose. And what did the guy do? He beat Spurrier in Florida twice, won the SEC championship, and they were stuck with him.
Wow. And that's the thing that could happen. I mean, and it's also sad with Alan Green because Auburn called itself an everything school, right? That's what they're saying. If you look at it, basketball team has done well. Baseball team has went to the College World Series.
Yeah.
Gymnastics has SUNY Lee and went to the Final Four. Every other sport other than football last year pretty much was exceptional, if you think about it. That should be enough to keep the athletic director.
But I would argue back. You know what I'm going to say.
Of course.
Alan Green. Hi, Brian Harsin.
Well,
that's going to reflect on it, yeah.
That could hurt him.
I mean, he's done a great job of doing what he's supposed to do, but he made one mistake. He told the fat cats, and I don't mean that literally, this is my guy. And he got buy-in from the interim president, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of
the that guy got out of there fast.
Yeah, absolutely, and he was coming back. Yeah, you know, he had already been in it before.
Yeah, he was just helping out.
Yeah. It's timing is everything, right? Like I said, probably don't want to make it based on wins and losses in football, but the timing with the contract situation, all that, it's too much. And man, yeah, that's the he's your hire.
I'm going to be quiet because I just want so bad to cover that beat. You guys are so fortunate.
I mean, never a dull moment, Paul.
Hey, look, it gets us here. So.
Always dramatic.
We'll talk again. Justin, thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul.
They're telling us to wrap up, but I want to continue this. So we're just going to stay here until 7 o'clock. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and 90 minutes remaining. So we've already identified two members of the media that will not be among the last media member remaining, and those are two that are with us right now. We're talking about Billy Lucci and Owen Buchanan, guys that are familiar faces on this network. Thanks so much, guys. I know you got to get out of here and head back, so we will not make this go too long, although I really wish we could. Owen, Jimbo Fisher came in today. It was a different Jimbo Fisher than we saw in Destin. Polished, humorous, talking a mile a minute, but delivering a pretty strong message.
Well, the mile a minute is
that's normal, huh? Gracious,
but, yeah, you know, the whole thing with the with the Saban issue, you know, that's old news now. They've moved past it. He still has, like all coaches, some really strong views about NIL and the problems that it's created. And I think as much as anything, he's really looking forward to all that discussion getting behind and start talking about football, because I think he feels like he's going to have a good team.
Yeah, you know, Billy, we'll talk about the season in a minute, but, you know, he acted like he and Coach Saban were going to play 18 tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that.
But, I don't either.
But I do think, just like friends, family, and I'm not saying things would ever be the same, and I'm not saying that I think maybe people perceive them to be closer than they were even prior to that. But
they weren't, were they?
No, I never got that feeling. I never got that. But I also didn't think that it was like that. And I think that was – a specific blow up, it dies out, they move past it.
And nobody's trying to keep that in the news. Not at all.
No, right. And from talking to Commissioner Sankey yesterday on our show, I think I asked him the question specifically, kind of, was there a pretty pretty specific message delivered in Destin league wide?
Right.
And it most certainly was. So I didn't think we were going to get any of that out there, but it was good to see Jimbo in that element, because he does have a team to be excited about. And the last time everyone saw him, including you, including everyone, it was,
it was weird.
An angry coach that was lashing out over, felt like his program was under attack.
And he said today he's sorry it was made public.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I thought it was humorous. Yeah. I mean, considering he called a news conference to respond.
Yeah. I think he was saying, I was sorry that Nick Saban made it public, probably.
Good news is this: there is a football season, and I do want to talk about that, because I'm not around Jimbo very often, but he was oozing confidence today, Owen.
Well, I think so, and I think he was confident last year until they had the quarterback situation, and now when you have Haynes King healthy and you have Max Johnson, a proven, very good starter, and in with a lot of SEC experience, and then a five-star guy coming in, his quarterback room's completely different. So I think that's where all of his confidence starts. And then he's not going to have a couple of freshmen in the starting offensive line. So I think that, and he has some guys from this recruiting class that I feel like he thinks is going to make an impact. So there's, you know, I think all of his confidence, that's where it starts.
And in terms of that confidence, and again, I don't know how many of these guys from the epic class of the millennium were part of spring ball.
11.
So that's a significant number. I mean, there's, coaches have to be jumping for joy. At the prospect of developing these guys. But what are you sensing already from some of these people?
Remember the name Evan Stewart.
Okay.
I think he's a day one guy. My first impression of him was equal or perhaps even a tad bit greater than my first impression of Christian Kirk,
Ooh.
Who is an outstanding receiver from day one at A&M, two touchdowns in his first game.
Right.
Evan's special, and he's like Christian, all the older players are already saying, he'll outwork you. You know, he's smart, he understands the position. So he's a guy, and they need that, Paul. You know, they need that deep vertical threat. That's why he was such a big-time recruit. And we talk a lot about Max Johnson. And there's so much true freshman talent on that defense. And you know a lot of those D linemen are going to get in and play record-setting D-line class more than anything. But Jake Johnson, three really good tight ends. But Jake got the head start by being here. So we can talk a lot about Max. But Jake, his little brother, the true freshman tight end, he was another guy that really turned heads in the spring.
Talking to Owen Buchanan and Billy Lucci, let me get to the recruiting trails because as much as A&M was in the news last year for heading toward a number one class, I haven't been to Texas in a while, but all I'm hearing is about Arch Manning and every player is breaking down doors to get to Texas. What do you sense being in the middle of all this?
Let me take this one.
Yeah, take that one, really.
I will say this. Where is the vitriol when the 8-4 team signed the number one class and was just under fire, not just from Nick Saban, but from, you know, everyone in college football, when the 5-7 team that loses to Kansas and loses six in a row, and in fairness, not to take a shot, because they are rolling. I'll give them credit there. They're doing a lot on the recruiting
front. I hope you're not. it's just hard for me to believe that Texas would be doing anything.
Well, I think this in NIL.
Because doesn't the University of Texas, aren't they enforced by a different constitution than the rest of us?
Different standards, yes. No, but look, in the world of NIL, anybody,
right.
It is truly the Wild West, and everyone's going to point fingers at everyone. I just find it humorous that when you look at how their season went, where they're at right now, and there's nary a peep. And I think it's because the name Manning is at the top of this whole thing.
It's sacrosanct.
Terrific quarterback prospect. I'm not going to sit here. But I'll say this, you know, A&M's got a couple big, big recruiting weekends coming up and to pick up the momentum to see if they can get back, not to number one because it's going to be about a 20-person class, but it's really important for Jimbo and these guys to stack something behind this one because this one was special. And there's not a lot of holes to fill as a result, but they need to stack.
Is there a concern, though, that with all the attention in Austin that this class won't look like A&M has continued that?
I think it just is going to depend for the Aggies on when they can get momentum. Okay. And if it happens soon, they'll be fine. But the other thing, at the end of the day, you're just going to have to look at that class and see, like, with 20 guys, it's not going to be rated high. But how are the – let's say the quality.
And how many defensive linemen can you go out and recruit when you just lap the field?
They got their eyes on a 5-star. But you bring up a great point, and it might be just two D linemen in this class. DBs, they loaded up, but they need to load up one more time. This class, to me, is going to be judged on the offensive line and what they can do at linebacker. And there's a huge battle being waged right now between A&M and Texas for a 5-star linebacker and Anthony Hill, and I think that'll be a telling one.
And let me state the obvious caveat. Recruiting is really important, but it's not as important as it was in the past because of how quickly things can change, Owen, with the portal.
That's true, and that's not something that A&M's used quite a lot yet. They had an offensive tackle from Tennessee come in, but and Max, But other than that, you know, they've Jimbo hasn't used that portal as much as Nick Saban and a lot of other coaches, like what Sam Pittman did.
Well, Nick Saban's like he goes shopping at at Saks Fifth Avenue once a year, and so I want that guy, that guy, that guy, and that guy.
Yeah, yeah. I think at Bama, the way they do it is what I think you'll see Jimbo and A&M ultimately do. Last year, they were rolling at such an unprecedented pace, not national, but for Texas A&M and anybody, that it was very hard to go and take a transfer over what they kept adding late in the recruiting front. Maybe on the front end you could have done that. So I do think because of that, they're a little bit more deliberate this year. But also, I think ultimately, you will see A&M embrace the portal in Jimbo, but not to the level that, say, an Ole Miss, Arkansas, Miami, who A&M plays this year, three of the more pivotal games on the schedule. It's going to be interesting to see what wins in today's world. Number one recruiting class or the number one transfer class, because those three loaded up, A&M said, we're going to stick with the high school route and the guys we've got.
Confidence today from Jimbo Fisher. The schedule is always weird because you know, you're playing the same teams from the West. The non-conference game this year is pretty fascinating.
App State.
Interesting
one.
What are we looking at here, Owen? What do you expect?
You mean
for the overall record? Yeah,
I think you know, to be completely objective, I think they're at a point now, 5 years going into the fifth year, that you look at it and you say 10 wins and anything less than that is a disappointing year.
You agree?
We had a big discussion. I was with your whole crew at dinner the other night, and Cole brought up and he asked all of us, who's your third team in the SEC? And I was so reluctant to say A&M. In fact, I think I kind of ducked it so as to not have to pick up the tab.
Don't duck it here.
But, yeah, so here we go.
There's no tab.
The reason why I will say A&M, Paul, is this. If we're talking about of all those teams, and they are all bunched up, I really believe there's about seven of them, right? The thing about A&M is if you ask me this simple question, of the seven, six or so, who has the highest ceiling? I think that answer is Texas A&M. A lot will depend on who's selected at quarterback. I'll say this. I think it's Jimbo Fisher's second most important quarterback decision he's made since the Jameis Coker one.
Wow.
Because think about this, too. It's likely a two-year decision.
Sure.
And you look ahead. This year's very big. And you look ahead to next year when they return that whole recruiting class, both the entire O-line and D-line, and you'll have a QB in year two. This is a real pivotal August at that position.
Final question, because you always hear the whispers, you know, this is probably not the year, and it's probably not at A&M. Mm-hmm. Are we about to see a national championship run, and when is it?
Go ahead, O.B.
Well, yeah, I think they're on the cusp of being a team that could be, you know, in the a legitimate contender. I thought they were a legitimate contender in 2020.
Yeah.
And they might have been.
I heard that a few times today.
And they might have been last year, if not, you know, for a rash of injuries. But that's part of the game.
But we're not talking about a different class.
Yeah.
So if they're.
You're talking about being
talking
in there
about
with Ohio State,
year?
Alabama, no, Georgia.
I think A&M a lot of times in the history is saying, you know, next year is the year. And I think it's time to quit.
Yeah, the only reason I bring it up is that a couple of years from now, if we haven't seen that or an SEC title, we're going to be having a much more serious conversation than today.
I told Jimbo that because I was kind of laughing about it with him, because with as much as A&M is invested, what we're talking about here is year five this year, but you're really talking about year six, seven, and eight, and I do think that's the window.
Okay.
And, yeah, if 7-8 years in, then, of course, you go
back.
We
heard that last year with Georgia. So
yeah.
You better win it this year.
Yeah. That's how I feel. It's coming.
I'm not saying that.
No, but I think it's coming. I do
think. It's getting to that point.
It feels like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
It'll be fun if they ever do it. I'll tell you that. Yeah. It'll be
just based on what we saw last year in early October, I can't imagine a national championship
Paul,
in College
know
Station.
This. Everybody else will discredit it. It's already sitting there ready to say, they bought the class. It doesn't count. Forget about college athletics throughout time. That's what will be said. But I'll take it at this point. I think all Aggies would.
Hey, we're talking about Texas now. those rules do not apply. Thank you, guys. Owen and Billy, we will continue the conversation with you guys throughout the season. We are heading toward the break. We're
inching toward the final hour of the week in Atlanta.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Media member standing, the most anticipated event of media days. And we are down to the final hour and 8 minutes. So who will it be? We are going to look live. That is Nubias Wilburn, who was with us earlier from AL.com. Will he be it? Oh, my goodness. Where are you going? Where is it? Well, hold on a second. Where are you? Are you leaving? Do you have any idea what the prize is for winning this? he's thinking of it. Good to see him. Okay, Nubias has had enough of this place. I don't blame him. Let's check in with Bo, who is up next in Georgia. Hello, Bo.
Hey, Paul, how's it going? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Right? I was calling because Nubias on there, actually.
Do you know him?
I do, personally. He's a very good friend of mine and a fraternity brother, close friend of mine and a fraternity brother.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I met him today for the first time, and I cannot tell you how impressed I was talking to him about his background and what he's doing. He is a unique individual, and I'm so pleased we got a chance to meet him today.
Yes, he's an outstanding person just all the way around, great friend. I hate that he's covering the Auburn beat being a dog fan, but I don't hold that against him.
Well, that could be to your advantage, depending on what he finds.
Absolutely, it could. I've never asked him for anything inside or anything, so I kind of let him keep his profession to himself. But it was cool seeing him on the show today. Just wanted to call.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Good to have you on. We're up against the break here. We're an hour to go. We have a couple more guests a little bit later. But most of this hour is going to be devoted to the callers because we have neglected you. We apologize. But you can give us a call right now at 855-242-7285.